We're reading from the book of Philippians. We're starting at verse number 12. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honour to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. Amen.
Thank you for our reading. So Ollie's going to bring us the message. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ollie, and we thank you for your word. And we pray that you would bless and anoint him as he preaches to us now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over to Ollie now.
Good evening. Welcome to our 5 p.m. service. We are currently in a sermon series called Unchained. And we heard wonderfully last week about Paul's prayer. That was his motivation for the church in Philippi. And I'd really like to begin by just sharing that before we start this evening. Verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight. I think it's so important to start, as we're in this series of Unchained, by looking at what motivated Paul to share this letter to the church in Philippi when he was in such desperate circumstances himself. He was a remarkable man, an inspiration. But more importantly than him, and I believe that he knew this, he looked to Christ in all things. And that was the strength that he drew upon in times of such adversity. So the main point I want to look at in this sermon this evening is, although Paul was physically bound, the encouragement to us is that he was mentally free. I want to acknowledge also that being a Christian doesn't make us better than other people. It certainly doesn't mean that we won't suffer. But it is a life guide through the power of God and the anointing and the blessing of the Holy Spirit that allows us to go to him and draw upon his strength in such desperate times. Now, Paul's situation was very different to many of us. He was imprisoned in a time where the prison conditions would have been so horrendous. They would have been boring. He would have starved. He would have had lack of water. The hygiene would have been horrendous. And to society as well at the time, somebody who'd been placed in prison would have been outcast in society. People would not even want to acknowledge them or speak to them. And throughout the passage that we've heard today from 12 to 30, we hear early on about shame. Something that I hear Paul talking about within these passages is that I'm confident that I will not be ashamed. And that's something that Jesus gives us. That's part of the gospel. That's part of what he's risked his life to go there and share with the church of Philippi through this letter. Now, I really like to set a little context here. There is some discrepancy between certain scholars as to exactly where Paul was when he'd written this letter to this church in Philippi. Some say that he was in Rome, some say that he was in Ephesus. I don't really think that that is so important at the moment, but I'd like to share an example from Acts 16 that might give us a context as to just what Paul experienced to end up in prison. Around the verse of 20 and on in Acts 16, it describes to us how Paul and Silas, for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ publicly, was stripped naked in front of people and beaten with rods. And it actually states in Acts 16 that they received a severe beating. All these things would have added to Paul's mindset at the time. And without spending too much time in this reference of Acts 16, the point I want to make is that Paul, at midnight, whilst in that prison, the same day, was praying and singing hymns to the top of his voice. He held on in those hard times to the gospel of Jesus Christ as his priority. That was what he went there to do. And the fact that all of the guards and all of the authorities were hearing about Jesus Christ was all that mattered to him. How do you think he felt in prison? We hear, as we listen to the scriptures that we've heard this evening, that some around him would have been preaching the gospel from a point of envy, self-ambition, greed, hoping to step into his shoes while he's out of the way, as if that they can wear this as some kind of prize, this self-glorification. He could have been consumed mentally whilst in prison with feelings of bitterness towards other people. Hear what he says. To him, to be able to go on and hear the gospel being shared regardless of what means it comes from, cause him to rejoice. That to me is absolutely evidence of a relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. The times that he would have spent rolling over in the cold of the night, catching those awful whip marks on him from those rods, feeling hungry, missing his loved ones. This man stood strong and held on to what God had called him to do. That for me is an inspiration. I'd like to read from verse 21. For me to live is Jesus Christ, and to die is gain. Now, when I was reading that, the part that absolutely stood out for me is for me. Probably for me, I've heard this scripture quoted from the New Testament endlessly. It's a scripture that is so well known, and is a scripture that can almost roll off of the tongue. But look at the price that Paul paid to say those words. I'm sure that Paul was trying to demonstrate to us, as he talks about those who preach from a standpoint of envy and self-ambition, do you think that he enjoyed being beaten and enjoyed being humiliated and enjoyed being whipped? He's talking to us from a perspective that has been given to him by God. He points to Jesus in all things. He does not take the self-glorification. In this letter alone, that is demonstrated by the way that he chooses to inspire someone when he's suffering so much. Now, as we come to conclude, the inspiration that we can take from Paul in the way that he looks at things, listen to what he says in 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. He demonstrates with these words that it is a privilege to suffer for him. To come to that type of mindset through the awful things that he endured, I can only imagine. We're suffering in our own right at the moment, in so many different ways. I can't begin to imagine the pain of those that have lost loved ones. The wonders that I'm seeing in humanity. The neighbours that are blessing each other. People that are lifting others up. Putting aside differences to love and support one another. That to me, when I witness what's going on around me, is very much the legacy that Paul was trying to pass on. And I think that's relevant today. In fact, even I am being blessed today, the fact that he chose to stay. Stay because he knew it would benefit the churches to grow in love, grow in knowledge. He was a selfless man. There's so much fear and struggling and death around us at the moment. I'm encouraged by the love of God that's demonstrated in this man. I'm encouraged and inspired, as he said, that people around him were also no longer fearing but being bolder in sharing the gospel. I want to encourage us. As I speak here, I'm speaking to myself as well. Encourage us to go on loving one another, blessing one another, helping one another. I think that this is a snippet of what's to come. The world that Jesus Christ promises us, and the hope that Paul held on to, regardless of his circumstances. I hope this has been a word of encouragement to you. I'd like to end by praying. Father, open our blinded eyes. We know, Father, from reading these scriptures, that our vision and our knowledge only comes from you. Amidst all the suffering, amidst all the pain, thank you, Lord, that we hold on to your love and your hope. I pray most of all, Lord, those that don't know you will come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.